Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we once again face the issues. I pray that you tune in each day and you invite others to join in the dialogue and the discussion. By the way, you can do that by simply dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We'll be talking about today a very serious issue, in my opinion. We're asking the question, will it be faith or fear? Will it be faith or fear? And very briefly and succinctly, let me simply say, with what we are watching, witnessing, experiencing on a national, international, global basis, it is so easy to be fearful, afraid, not wanting to face the real issues, somehow, some way, believing that if we do not face them, that they'll simply dissipate, disappear, and go away. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not what will take place. But we need to understand that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of faith. We need to trust Him in each and every area and facet of our lives. There are a lot of people today that's talking about the food shortages, the famine that's approaching. Well, my Bible says, but my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by, that's the little Greek word dia, D-I-A, means through the access and the avenue of that provision is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think more than ever in the history of our great nation, we need to be trusting in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and looking to Him, looking to God, and not to government, in meeting the need and satisfying the hope that we have in this life. The hope is not in government, but in God and God alone. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you once again, we face the issues based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. Jesus, speaking to His disciples in John 8:31-32, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Let me parse that verse or two there for a moment. If you continue, stay constantly, be in my word. What is my word? Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. If you constantly stay in my word, the truth book, then ye are my disciples indeed. That word indeed means truly, surely, absolutely. And ye shall know, and if I could add a statement, and then ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's as we stay in the word of God, as we dwell on the word. Remember Joshua, when God called Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1-9. God told Joshua to stay in the word, to obey the law, his law, that's the word, and not turn to the left, not turn to the right. And then he would have success in the journey that God had called him to. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me admonish us today, early on in this broadcast, that we need to understand truth. And the truth is nothing other than the word of God. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. And then he says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So it's the truth of the word of God that we ought to depend upon. Listen very carefully. We're going to talk about a number of issues taking place in America and that we see on a global level. How does that affect you? What does that make you think? How does it make you feel? Are you concerned? Are you anxious? Are you worried? Are you totally dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, can talk about these issues each and every day on this broadcast. I can relate to them as we have messages from the pulpit in relationship to what we see happening. But at the same time, I can tell anybody, I can place my head on the pillow at night and go sound asleep without worry, without fret and concern in relationship to it. I believe that is the order of the day from the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. But truth is no longer sought today. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist, that made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. This is the reason we have a truth commission today, a truth ministry, a disinformation board by the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democratic Party, headed by Joe Biden. The disinformation board is designed to take what is truth and call it a lie, to take what is a lie and call it truth. And that's what Orwell said would take place in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to the fact that we need to depend upon the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. God's Word ought to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway each and every day. That should be the model by which we make decisions on what we're going to do, where we're going to go, and how we're going to respond to the issues that face us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my challenge to you each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the truth. You won't find it on the Communist Network News. You'll find just a little modicum, maybe occasionally, a smidgen of truth on Fox News. Truth is from, fountainheaded from the Word of God, not from a television network or a Johnny-come-lately commentator that supposedly has all of the answers from the socialist, Marxist, leftist, Democrat perspective. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including the Honda generators, with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions. Ladies and gentlemen, a knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the backup power equipment, generators. Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a flagpole about 165 feet in the air. Gigantic, gigantic flag. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm told it takes 8 adult men to get the flag airborne and on the pole. So, ladies and gentlemen, find that flag in the flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, at the base of the flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sundays so that you can worship with your family in the house of God as God intended for God's family to do. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment, wait for your interview, and see what God does as far as placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, the telephone lines are open. That number is 831-0917, 831-0917. But at the top of the news today, just about on all of the outlets in the networks, we find that there is a push for gun control today. There is a mindset that somehow, some way, that guns kill people. And I want you to understand, I'm a Second Amendment rights person. I want you to recognize that God, through our founding fathers, gave us what's called the Bill of Rights, and the Second Amendment is nothing other than the right to keep and bear arms. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a gun that shoots somebody. It's the one that pulls that trigger. And Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? I believe that what we are faced with today, with all the high-profile news in relationship to the mass murder, as it's now being called, by the way, and I'm not minusculizing or trivializing the death of 10 people in Buffalo, New York by the shooter. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, more than that, shot each and every weekend in large cities like New York, Delaware. We find major shootings in Chicago each and every weekend, each and every week, and major cities in California, major metropolitan areas across America today. And you don't find them saying anything about Black Lives Matter, as the BLM, Socialist Marxist Organization, stretches the truth when they say that Black Lives Matter. You don't find the Socialist Marxist Leftist Communist Democratic Party screaming about that, but you do with this. Why is that so? We need to analyze and look at a little more closely what's really taking place there. Guns are bad is what we hear today. Guns need to be banned because a crazed 18-year-old killed 10 people in Buffalo, New York. Ladies and gentlemen, we're saddened. Listen carefully. We're saddened. Everyone listen to the sound of my voice on this broadcast today. We need to be saddened as a result of the tragedy and the tragic loss of lives. And we need to be praying for the grieving families as they mourn the loss of their loved ones. But ladies and gentlemen, looking at an article says, confirmed. Buffalo killer wasn't conservative. The first thing out of the news media, ladies and gentlemen, as is typical, this is a shooter. He's got a handgun or a rifle. By the way, there's no such thing as an assault weapon. Any weapon that you pull out to shoot somebody could be considered an assault weapon, whether it's long or short, whether it's a revolver, AR-15, et cetera, But ladies and gentlemen, this article says, after a self-identified white supremacist allegedly shot up New York grocery store, many news outlets and left-leaning Twitter users went wild trying to pin the crime on Fox News. Tucker Carlson, Ben Shapiro, Greg Gutfeld, and other people on the right. But now it has been revealed that the suspect openly hated all conservatives. The media wants to blame the motivation for his crime. On Sunday, a man police have identified as Peyton Glendron, G-E-N-D-R-O-N, Glendron, 18, of Conklin, New York, allegedly committed a murder of 10 people and wounding three others inside the Tops Friendly Market, a predominantly black neighborhood, neighborhood of Buffalo, New York. Witnesses said the man entered the store wearing military-style gear and opened fire with a rifle. The shooter also carried a helmet cam, that's a camera on his helmet, on his head and reportedly began streaming the shooting live on the streaming platform Twitch. Leftists in the media and on Twitter immediately blamed conservative TV personalities. Former Obama press secretary Joe Lockhart, for instance, jumped to his Twitter account to claim that Tucker Carlson, Fox News, have more blood on their hands today. Another blue-checked Twitter user. Talking about Democrat. Georgetown professor Don Monahan also blamed Tucker Carlson, despite the fact that he had no evidence whatsoever that the suspect was a Tucker Carlson fan. But these leftists, this article says, ladies and gentlemen, who jumped to blame Fox and Carlson did not bother to follow up on the facts in the case. A look at the accused killer's extensive social media post shows that he is not anyway in any form a conservative. And indeed, his manifesto did not mention Fox or Tucker at all. In parts of the manifesto, he claimed he was an authoritarian left-winger. Authoritarian left-winger. Does that ring a bell? Authoritarian left-winger? Could that be spelled AOC? Could that be spelled Nancy Pelosi? Could that be spelled Chuck Schumer? And I could give a host of other names. Authoritarian left-winger. Said he hated Christianity. He hated Christianity and also said he was interested in green nationalism. From the accused killer's own rantings, it is evident that he is not a conservative. But ladies and gentlemen, that was the first thing they jumped to. Listen very carefully. New York has one of the toughest gun laws in the nation. And ladies and gentlemen, with the toughest, most stringent gun laws, and yet we're to believe that somehow, some way, gun control will stop foolish people from doing foolish things because of a wicked heart. And the heart is the fact of the matter, the very focal point that we should be focusing on. This man hated human beings. And by the way, any openly defiance of the law and will make an attempt to shoot or take someone's life without cause, as we see in this case, is a wicked heart. It's not the weapon, it's the heart that is at blame. This is not a gun issue. It's not a racial issue. It's a heart issue, ladies and gentlemen. And let me remind you, in America, 42% of Americans own guns. 42%. And across America, the cities that are blue cities, that is, are dominated by the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist left, known as the Democratic Party, those very cities have the most strict gun laws, and those very cities are responsible for the lives being taken of thousands annually. And you don't hear them getting into a rage about the blue cities like Chicago and others, where lives are taken indiscriminately every week and mainly on the weekends. You don't hear Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and others saying, we need to ban guns. We need to have some stringent gun laws. Ladies and gentlemen, we have more gun laws on the books today in America than in any other nation you'd find. And it's at more than has ever been on the books in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats will use any excuse to try to cancel or to in some way infringe upon the Second Amendment rights. New York, California, Illinois, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. With heavy gun control laws, and yet you find mass murders. Did the gun kill the 10 people or did the shooter? We'll talk about that further in a moment. I believe I have Pastor Davis on the line. Pastor, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I pray that you are.
Very well. Thank you, sir, so much. Thank you for receiving my call. But once again, Dr. Youngblood, it is very sickening to me to continue to see things play out as they have over the past, let me just say, a couple of years, not just a weekend. Of course, what happened vexed my soul deeply because of, you know, individuals, once again, I mean, innocent people, you know, had to lose their lives.
Yes.
On the account of some deranged individual. And Dr. Youngblood, I'm wondering how many times are they going to kick the can down the road? They had inside track information on this person about a year ago, from what I understand, and no one followed up on it. So once again, we are going through, we are facing another tragedy in history. Individuals, innocent people, hardworking Americans, those who have retired, trying to enjoy their lives, those that were going about in the store shopping to you know, get things for their families and, you know, just to have a better life, being mowed down so viciously by this deranged person. Now, as we go back through some of the same type of incidents that happened, such as the school shootings and so forth and so on, they had inside track information on those other individuals also, but no one failed to follow up on it. So how can they turn around and blame it on the person when whoever it were in charge of receiving the information and doing these background checks and all of this other stuff that they like to do from time to time, some of it seems like to me that they violate the rights of innocent individuals who mean well. But, you know, if they have this information, you know, handy, available, and you know that these people stand a chance to, you know, hurt someone else because of the, I don't know, what's going on in their heads sometimes, then why don't you follow up on that and see that these individuals be put away before they do any harm or damage to anyone else?
Well, Pastor, you're exactly right, because as I understand it, in the limited information that the public has available, even at this moment, with that limited information, we understand he was a fruitcake, that they had already examined him and determined that there was a psychological problem. And let me say this, Pastor, very clearly, not just to you, but to our listeners in general. I, in researching these, not this case, but in researching others down through the years, I would be willing to assure the listener that this individual is on some type of mind-altering drugs when he perpetrated the crime of murdering 10 people. And yet we have a nation that is pushing, through Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the balance of the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democratic Party, pushing to legalize on a federal level marijuana and other drugs. And yet marijuana is the gateway to every hard drug, every other drug that's utilized in America and around the globe. And yet they're pushing that for the tax profit, the tax base that they'll receive, not caring at all about the citizens and the derangement of the brain that it can cause as a result of that material going into their system. And yet now, somehow, some way, we're caused to believe that this man was a conservative. And as a result of that, people like Fox News and Tucker Carlson and others motivated him to do that. Pastor, hang on for just a moment. Let me touch on this, and we can dialogue. This Amen. Article says, Amen. Jews must be killed. The New York massacre suspect posted anti-Semitic manifesto. An 18-year-old wearing military gear and live streaming with a helmet camera opened fire with a rifle in a supermarket in Buffalo, killing 10 people, wounding three others Saturday in what authorities described as a racially motivated violent extremism. Further, the article says police said he shot 11 black people, two white victims, before surrendering to authorities in the rampage he broadcast live on the streaming platform of Twitch. Now, I'm going to pause there, Pastor, because we're being told that this man hated black people, and that caused it. He also hated white people, apparently, because he shot two in that rampage. He also hated Jews, and in his manifesto, he stated so. So the question is, as believers, as conservatives, as Christians, as patriots, should we faith God, or should we fear the future based on what the government is doing? I believe, and this is just me personally, I believe that, as you said, that the government officials knew the potentiality with this, but they also needed another tool, another part of the weaponry to try to in some way circumvent the gun ownership in America. And 42% of Americans own some weapons, one or more firearms in some cases. This article further says, Pastor, the suspect posted a manifesto online prior to the attack expressing his hatred for all Jews, declaring support for the Nazi ideology and supporting the anti-Semitic Great Replacement conspiracy theory, according to multiple reports on the media. The 180-page document attack plans were outlined, but the time frame in which it was posted remained unclear. The suspect identified Jews as the biggest problem in the world, claiming that they can be dealt with in a time of war between Jews and non-Jews. The real war, he says, that he's advocating is for the Gentiles to kill all the Jews, end quote. On the day before the shooting, Dallas police said they were investigating a series of shootings in the Korean town as hate crimes. The Buffalo attack came just 1 month after a mass shooting on a Brooklyn subway train purportedly by a black suspect, wounding 10 people. Now, let's just talk about that for a moment, Pastor. Here it is with the subway shooting in Brooklyn. A black man shot 10 white people. Now, this one is a white man shooting 10 black people, and we're calling it a racist crime. It was almost a squelched communication when the black man shot 10 white people on the train, because it was the reverse order of what is we're wanting to be told by the, quote, leadership out of the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party. It is the divisiveness that I believe is arising out of what is being taught in our public school systems, the critical race theory, which is causing race against race, ethnicity against ethnicity. And the Lord Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 24 said that we're going to find that taking place in the last of the last days. Now, I believe that's what we're seeing. We're seeing prophecies being fulfilled, and as horrific as it is, it ought not to be called a race crime, a hate crime, yes, because hatred comes from the heart, and it's not the weapon. We ought not to ban weapons as a result of the animus and the hatred and the wickedness in the heart of any person, whether it's black or white, Asian or otherwise. We should recognize that we still need to faith God, depend upon God, and not fear because of what the government is wanting to do. How do you respond to those statements?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, that's been very well put. I don't think I can better, you know, anything that you have said there. The information was laid out, so much in detail, and it's spot on. I mean, it's very much well explained, you know, just the way that, you know, no one could be confused by what, you know, the way that you have just put that out. But I would like to say, I mean, for me, whether the individual was black and committed crimes or white,
yes,
and committed crimes, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Mm-hmm. If he committed a crime, then, Dr. Youngblood, they should suffer the consequences.
Absolutely.
They should suffer the punishment fitting for that crime. And, you know, it kind of grieves my heart, especially, and I understand that according to the law system, every individual is supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. Now, how much more guilt needs to be proven when the person was caught on the spot? I mean, they were there with the weapon in their hands. That guy had a shootout with an individual that lost his life trying to help protect other innocent people.
Yes.
So how could you say the suspect, or I don't know however else they want to label that, but for me, I mean, when we look at Bible, the way that God puts it in the Bible, he said, if any man shed man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed.
Yes.
So this is telling me that God doesn't tolerate sin. If you are caught on the spot many a times, God pronounced judgment right then and there. So what's wrong with us? I think the problem is, again, no one wants to take the blame, because when we look at this situation, this guy was investigated, had a chance to put up a manifesto, all these other things like that. Dr. Youngblood, if you or I had done anything similar to that,
yeah,
we would have been labeled insurrectionists.
Yes.
And someone probably would have been knocking at your door with handcuffs, waiting to drag you off the jail. But they let him live another whole year, and these thoughts in his mind got a chance to fester and make him a more decrepit individual than he was when he put that manifesto out there on the computer. Now,
absolutely,
he had a chance to get out there and commit a heinous crime such as taking 10 individuals' lives and wounding two others. I mean, where is it going to stop? Who's going to step forth? I mean, when are we going to hold people accountable for what they're not doing?
Brother, because you just touched on the key to it. You just touched on the key to it, Pastor Davis, and that is this, that when we go back to law and order, when we go back to funding rather than defunding police, when we go back to allowing the justice system to be carried out, this man will probably go year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years before he's ever fully tried. Then he will be ultimately sentenced to life in prison rather than following the biblical precept, concept, principle, and taking his life. I have said for years and years and years, when something like this takes place, if there'd be a speedy trial, and in that speedy trial, it wound up with guilty, 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 and the guilty have to pay the price with his life, it wouldn't take but about a half a dozen of those on a national publicized basis for it to cause crime to decrease 90%, in my most humble opinion. But because we have lawlessness in the land, and the lawlessness is carried out by a lawless president and a lawless system in the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. As a result of that, lawlessness reigns, and this is the price we pay. And Pastor, I'll touch on this. I believe we're watching the hand of God bringing an increasing judgment on a nation that said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Well, I think, Dr. Youngblood, if we were in a country like over in the Middle East where when you committed a crime, if you stole something, they cut that hand off right there. You know, maybe some of this stuff would be put to a halt. But until that time, and in other words, I'm not saying that it's really got to be done, you know, in such a fashion, but
yes,
then make them pay. You know, once you find out, you know, people have a mind to hurt other individuals like that. And even if it's anything you want to put on medical, some people say medicine, certain medications, you know, make people, you know, think certain ways and, you know,
yes,
do certain things. Okay,
yes,
if that's the case, then let's get them the help that they need.
But absolutely.
Otherwise, if there are other people that are aware of a situation like that and they do nothing to prevent the situation from getting any worse, then they also need to be held accountable.
Absolutely. Brother, you're exactly right. Pastor Davis, thank you so much for your call. Your dialogue and discussion has been so helpful on your comments today. Thank you and have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen,
sir,
we're talking about the question at hand. Will it be faith or fear? We're going to live in the atmosphere of faith in God and trusting Him. We're going to live in the atmosphere of fear based on what we see taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.